the island of Silicon Valley. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Obama administration now says it's postponing some more requirements for businesses under the health care reform law. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has details. Morning, Sabri.
Morning, David. So originally, under the law, any company with 50 or more full-time workers had to offer health insurance to those workers or pay a penalty of $2,000 for each employee they weren't covering. Now, we all know the rollout of the act has not been smooth, so the Obama administration delayed the requirements last year, and now they've delayed them again. So specifically, businesses with 50 to 99 full-time workers, that's about 7% of the workforce, have until 2016 now to cover their people. Larger companies with 100 or more workers, and now we're talking, you know, restaurant chains on up to Microsoft, they only have to cover 70% of their people for the first year. So basically, all businesses with 50 or more employees do not have to cover all of their people until 2016. And that affects about a quarter of all U.S. workers.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishore in New York. Thank you. In California, they call it Silicon Valley, but there's an argument that Valley is becoming Silicon Island, that is island in the sense of an outpost with its own rules, but also island as in insular, a bit cut off from the wider society. This theme emerged during a series of conversations I had in Northern California the other day, a tension between whether this key hub of innovation would be a richer or poorer place if left more to its own devices. Today, let's start where Silicon Valley meets the ocean. I asked Dario Mutabjia, CEO of a startup called Blueseed, to come to this pier in Half Moon Bay, California, to conjure his vision out there on the horizon.
12 miles west of our current location, basically.
If he can raise the money, and he's working to see if he can, Mutabjia would like to put a collection of floating dorms and offices out there just past the limit of current U.S. immigration law.
The most realistic possibility would be a cruise ship, used cruise ship.
The cost might even be competitive with the Bay Area's skyrocketing commercial rental market.
They're beautiful. They have rooms. They have theaters, restaurants. We wouldn't have to do much of retrofitting.
Here's the thing. Many entrepreneurs and or engineers around the world have bright ideas they'd like to develop in the United States. But good luck finding them a full-on work visa, Mutabjia says. What's easier for many of the 1,500 techies from overseas who've shown interest is called a business multiple entry visa.
Which allows one to come to the United States and do business activities, negotiating, meeting people, setting up contracts. What you cannot do on those visas, and this is where Blueseed comes in, you cannot legally work in the United States. So the work on their startups would happen on a ship. The coding, the business development, etc., and the networking activities would happen in Silicon Valley.
Venture Capital Row near Stanford is about half an hour from this wharf. I asked him about a Blueseed vessel as an offshore tax dodge. He rejects that, saying a typical venture capitalist looking to invest would insist that a startup incorporate and therefore pay taxes in some actual U.S. jurisdiction. Office and lab space off the 12-mile limit is a radical idea that he concedes could be better solved if the U.S. Congress changed immigration law. If this somehow sounds familiar, a floating solution to a perceived policy problem.
Rocking Europe from the North Sea, this is Radio Caroline.
You may remember how the overseers of British broadcasting denied the public consistent rock and roll until pirate radio stations went on the air from ships at sea. Another Northern California-based outfit has a grander vision, entire floating cities, in an attempt to solve what's seen as a broken government that stands in the way of innovation.
You know, the end goal is to see 1,000 floating cities out on the ocean, each competing for citizens.
Randolph Henkin is executive director of the Seasteading Institute, which wants to break what supporters see as a government monopoly on government.
It's strange to think of governance as a technology, but technology is something we use to get something done. Most technologies advance through innovation and competition in the marketplace. Right now, just a few big firms have that monopoly on government. If we can open up the blue frontier to humanity and see 1,000 floating cities, each competing for citizens, we'll see great advancements in government.
There is a pronounced libertarian theme here, and the floating cities would be part of a long American tradition of utopian communities. Think Hershey, Pennsylvania, or the one in Texas once tried by serial tycoon C.W. Post. When the Seasteading Institute put up a survey, more than 1,000 people said they want in.
So I think those that are called to the seasteading are people that want to do good for the world.
But might a community starting fresh, largely beyond the reach of existing law, attract, what do you call them, pirate types, outlaws?
No, I don't think that it's going to be a Wild West. I think that while there has to be rules, there has to be safety out there, the ocean is a harsh environment. It's not a place that's just going to invite people to do bad things.
The idea would be to start small, maybe a ship docked in the protected harbor of a friendly country. That friendly jurisdiction is not likely to be California or the U.S. anytime soon. Tomorrow, our Silicon Island conversations continue with one of the Valley's most influential venture capitalists. Tim Draper wants the Silicon Valley to be its own state and is pushing a ballot initiative to make it so. All of our Silicon Island coverage is accumulating at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.